This ended up in this tenfold classification. And all of these, as the name already says, the symmetry-protected topological states, they are protected by symmetry, meaning anti-unitary symmetries like time reversal symmetry, particle Hohn symmetry, and the combination chiral symmetry, and later on there have been movements or things about, for example, crystalline topological insulators, the mirror symmetry of the time reversal symmetry to protect those topological faces. And this raises the question, how do correlation affect this classification? Can we generate exotic, can we try to adiabatically connect topological distinct faces in non-detecting case? I will explain this more in detail in the first half of. And then there is also intrinsic topological order, which doesn't require any more the symmetry protection. And it's characterized by ground state degeneracy, which usually depends on your manifold. For example, if you're on a sphere or on a torus, you have a different ground state degeneracy. And this is related to fraction topological excitations. Well-known examples are spin liquids or fractional quantum Hall states. And in the second half of the seminar, I want to address the question, if we Kondo couple those intrinsic order states, conduction system, how we can use fractional. Also, please, if you have any questions during the talk, don't hesitate to ask. So this brings me then to the outline. I wanted to study correlated physics. Have to have a method for this, and we will be using ciliary field quantum Monte Carlo. Then moving on to the first part, where I discuss the reduction in this classification of symmetry protected topology. And in the second part, I will be discussing the Kondo breakdown and the fractional Fermi liquid together, closed by a. So let's discuss the method a little bit more. Recently, in the last 2 years, I would say, we developed a very general implementation of a method known as auxiliary field Monte Carlo. And this method is actually publicly available at the ALF Physics University Würzburg site. And the documentation can be found here under this link. This implementation contains essentially three parts. There's mainly the free part of the Hamiltonian, where you have single moving terms or like orbit coupling and like. Then there is a first kind of interaction, where we consider the same kind of single body operators and now couple them to Ising fields. And they can have their own dynamics. So this would already be interesting to study C2 gauge symmetric theories coupled to induction elements. And more relevant, the rest of this seminar, I will be discussing, I will be using the second type of interaction, which are squares, single body operators. And category we have, for example, the Hubbard interaction or spin-spin correlations relevant then for the Kondo couples. Due to the setup, this program is very flexible and it's studied very different and also very complex model system. And you will see examples the rest of this. You can use the finite temperature version, which has been done for the second part. And I also implemented a protective ground state version for the first, and used this for the first half of the seminar. And it's also easy to get access to many observables there. So for example, study correlation, if I want to test symmetry breaking, which is very important in the first half of the seminar then, and also dynamic correlation functions to get access to spectral functions of conduction elements, of course. One can also measure Rennie entropies and therefore learn something about entanglement properties. So this brief method should be the introduction, should be basis for both of the projects, and I want to continue in part one with reduced topological classification. So I already mentioned symmetry protected topological faces, and here I want to take the chance to explain what this is so that everybody's on the same page. With this, I would like to pick the easiest example, which is a one-dimensional model, which has 2 degrees of freedom per unit cell. And then the most generic quasi-particle Hamiltonian will be described by a 2x2 matrix depending on a one-dimensional momentum. It can be easily written in this form where I introduce a D vector, finding how I mix the spins or the Pauli matrices to build up the 2x2 matrix. Symmetry protected phase. So there is a symmetry, which in this case leads to the constraint that one of those components of the D vector has to vanish. For example, the C component of the D vector. And this kind of Hamiltonian is relevant in two cases: for the Kitaev chain, the local order, the local degrees of freedom are the Bogoliubov basis states, or the Majoranas, if you wish. And if you go to real fermions, spinless, and then take all the degrees of freedom, use the same Hamiltonian discussed physics of the Weber-Heger model. It's a one-dimensional system, and this D vector lives in the dx/dy plane due to the symmetry constraint, but will map out a closed loop. And if you have a situation like this up here, the D vector is always zero, non-zero. It never touches the origin, so it's always a gapped system. And it doesn't wind around the origin. It would be a trivial phase. Now, if I shift down this contour to a different Hamiltonian, at some point I will meet the origin, which means the D vector vanishes, the Hamiltonian vanishes, and I have a zero eigenvalues in the Hamiltonian. In other words, I have a singular. If I continue with this movement, I get to a topological phase where now this contour winds around the origin. So I have managed to, in some sense, define this global order parameter, the winding number here. I've also already seen two crucial features in this quasi-particle description without interaction. If I go from a topological phase to a trivial phase, I have the semi-metal in between. And the only way out without correlations is to add the finite component to the vector and necessarily breaks the symmetry. And the rest of this first half of the talk, I want to ask the question, if we allow for correlations, can we then adiabatically connect topologically distinct phases? So for example, this topological insulator with the trivial insulator. Why should this be possible? For this to discuss, I would like to look at the Kitaev chain in more detail and interactions for this. We have original fermions, can always be split into two Majorana modes. They're symbolized by these grayish circles. And usually these dashed bonds are the strong bonds, so it makes sense to talk about those fermions. But if I go into a different scenario where I tune solid bonds to be the strong ones, it is then useful to introduce new fermions, these red ones here, which leave the Majorana edge mode, one hallmark topological phase to have stable edge mode. Now, if I want to add local interactions, I cannot couple the two ends, but I rather have to insert second layer, second chain. And then the first interaction term I can write down looks like this, but it breaks the time reversal symmetry. To move on, I can introduce new fermions on this edge, C1 and C2, add a repulsive Hubbard interaction, and then I'm left with essentially a 1/2 degree of freedom on this edge, which is a gapless spectrum. But if I have now a total of 8 copies, I can use the spin 1/2 degree of freedom of the first one and of the second one, and then write down an interaction coupling those two spins so that I get the singlet ground state. I have the bulk boundary perspective, but rid of the topological surface state. So it should be back in the trivial case space, and this means I have a reduction from C to C8. The model before was pretty special because it was in one dimension where it's already hard to break symmetries, and they could fine-tune it to zero-dimensional objects where you will never see spontaneous symmetry breaking. I would like to ask the question, what happens in two dimensions? I find this Dirac Hamiltonian in two. I essentially have two copies of the quantum Hall effect, the hopping term, x and y direction, and the mass term for the third Pauli matrix, octagonal because of a unitary symmetry, and it's a in principle the same setup as in the quantum spin Hall effect, where you start with finding of for the up part and the winding of minus one in the lower, the spin down sector. In contrast to the usual quantum spin Hall and topological insulator, we won't allow spin orbit coupling, which are time reversal symmetric, but still couple the up and down sector. To discuss the topology of this model, I think there's something. I'm sorry, I will have to close the presentation for a second and restart it. I'm missing a prefix. Sorry again, it should just take a second. Oh, almost there. Here we go. So I want to discuss the role of this parameter lambda, the tuning parameter of the topology, entering the mass term here. If lambda is zero, I have a Dirac cone at pi pi, where the two cosine functions are negative and the mass term vanishes at pi pi, where also the signs are zero. So looking at this component here as the x component, the y component, and the z component, we can plot the structure of this D vector where for positive values, it's just pointing upwards. And then with the spin flip at the pi pi point for the Dirac cone, on the other side of this, for small but negative lambdas, I will have the topological winding phase. I will have the topological insulator here, the semi-metal at lambda equals zero and the trivial insulator, and continuing the same game when lambda is minus two, I again have a Dirac cone at zero and zero pi, which flips those two spins and generates a negative winding number. So let's introduce interactions. Previous works by Furusaki and collaborators, or Aslam Kerosh and collaborators, shown that for our symmetry class, we should expect a reduction from C before, which means comparing to the 8 copies from before, he will need 4 copies of this dimensional Dirac Hamilton. And I can add an interaction which really couples all those 4 layers indexed by A, B, E, and D. Or I could rewrite this interaction in this form, where the most important point is first we introduced pseudo-spins, spin 1 or spin 2, where spin 1 acts on the sublayers A and B, whereas spin 2 is coupling then C and D. And the important channel, which will be relevant for the second or for the remainder of this part, is minus sign here, because this can introduce then most dangerous channel in terms of mean field, where I gain energy due to the minus sign when this operator orders. This is quite in contrast, for example, to the Hubbard model, where if you crank up the interaction, we're left with a macroscopically degenerate ground state, as you have a spin 1/2 degree of freedom each side. Here, you have a unique and symmetrically gapped ground state. So the scenario of symmetry breaking is much more or less likely. Before going to the numerics, I want to discuss some expectation on the phase diagram, where I again have the non-interacting phase tuned by the lambda parameter from a topological insulator to a trivial insulator, and I will be focusing on this regime here. For weak interactions, we have a natural energy scale in the insulator, and as long as the gap of the insulator, and as long as the interaction strength is below this energy scale, the insulating phases should be stable. And I move on to the semi-metallic phase. The vanishing density of states of Dirac cone should also characterize these some extent a stable semi-metal, and I need some finite interaction strength to change this, to get this out or to do something else with it. And as mentioned already briefly on the previous slide, if I go to very large interactions, I have essentially local Hamiltonian, which has a single ground state, which is from the rest of the spectrum, so could also be stable, some kind of mod-insulator. The most interesting regime is then the intermediate strength, this interaction. One option would be the symmetry break. Another option would also be that I lose the quasi-particle picture, which was the basis for this whole classification in the tenfold way for the non-interacting system. Because without interactions, are only the two scenarios if I want to go from the topological insulator to the trivial insulator. This is, I have to cross the semi-metal, or I have a symmetry broken regime.
Can you hear us? Hello?
Yes?
Oh, yeah. A question. So,
sorry?
Can you just say a little bit more?
Yes.
The graph, what does the graph state look like at infinite view? I understand it's a product state, but I don't see immediately why it's completely symmetric. Wouldn't the S S2 just order?
So it's a bit tough to explain this in a nice picture, but the interaction is chosen such that when you, so I mean, the first thing when it's just a local state is that you can exactly diagonalize the system.
Yeah.
And when you do so, you find that it is a ground state and the interaction was built like this to have a unique ground state. So you work your way through the spin representation, which kinds of state there are, and if you explicitly do an solution of this operator as a unique single state.
So maybe let me put it this way. Does Mi alpha order for at that ground state? Does Mi alpha have an exponential value or something?
No, it does not.
Okay.
All the symmetries in the large U limit, this SI alpha does not have an expectation value.
I see. So SI alpha is just a spin pop operator, right? Or is that right?
To some extent, yes, but it's in this pseudo-spin basis where you have the layer A and B.
Yeah, that's fine. So just in terms of algebra, so they form a spin pop.
Yes.
Okay. I see.
Yes. And it's really closely related to the idea on the Kitaev chain that you first boil down this to 2 spin 1/2 degrees of freedom, which you then couple to form a singlet.
I see. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. That term is just S dot S. Okay. I see. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. But here in this intermediate regime, we do have a possibility with the correlation effects to generate some kind of spontaneous symmetry breaking. It's not in the large U limit, but it might be at intermediate strength. The more interesting regime where we want to get at is lose the quasi-particle picture. Right. So, and this would mean, I mean, on the semi-metallic phase, I would have a pole in the single particle Green's function crossing the Fermi surface, which changes the topology. With interactions, I would also have the chance to push a zero of the Green's function when I lost the spectral weight of the pole through Fermi surface to change the topology, but not introducing a semi-metallic phase. Kind of the same. This would then allow the adiabatic path and the reduction in the symmetry from the topological insulator to the trivial insulator. Here are the numerical results and arguments on the stability of the insulators were correct. The semi-metal survives. But sadly, we didn't find this exotic phase, but we found a well-described phase in the mean field theory with a spontaneously broken symmetry. The adiabatic path is not. But we aren't done yet. Sorry, I hope I didn't go too quickly through this phase diagram.
Sorry, let me make sure I understand. So the upper red line doesn't seem too close.
Yes. This has to do with a numerical, not really problems, but I mean, here we go to pretty large interaction strengths.
Yeah.
So the data becomes more and more noisy. That's why the error bars also for the phase transition grow in this U regime. And at this point, we kind of stopped the simulation or didn't pay too much attention to this region here. We know that it will be a mod insulating for rather strong U, and adiabatic path is already blocked because of this line down here.
I see. So the
So I'm pretty sure if I would do a simulation carefully enough and spend the CPU time, I will find a phase transition around here, and I will probably close this line on the horizon.
I see. So the so you always get an intermediate symmetry breaking state.
Yes, because I always enter at least the symmetry broken state, which is seen here by this lower line. And I also know that I will leave it again.
So this is in two dimensions.
Yes. This is in two dimensions and therefore different from one dimension where it cannot break the spontaneous.
So let me make sure I understand. So lambda from minus two to zero, what's the winding number there? Is it two or four?
It's four copies of a minus one winding number, so it's a total of minus four.
Okay. I see. Okay.
Yes. Yes. If I would have this minus four winding number and I could go here, I would have exactly the C4 reduction.
I see. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. So this then led to a new idea, and we came up with a way how we can add frustration to the system to get rid of the symmetry broken state, but in a way where we don't have a sign problem in the Monte Carlo. And for this to work, we defined a C component to the X and Y we had used in the interaction before. They're essentially just the gamma 5 matrix. It's missing. The rest of the structure is again the same. Action is chosen such that I want to minimize locally the overall C component. With this, I can frustrate the XY polarized pseudo-magnetic order. Because of the ground state and the large U limit being a singlet, this does not change the energy of the ground state, and all other states can only go up in energy. Okay, so this is a way how we can add frustration to the system, possibly destroy the ordered phase without changing the arguments for the dimensional reduction from judging the edge state physics. I have essentially the same plot where I again have this lambda axis, this U axis for the original first interaction I defined. And here I added a weak frustration where this value V is 0.75. And what is already visible is that the symmetry broken regime down here, and now you also see really leave the upper there is an upper boundary for the symmetry broken regime, is smaller than before. Okay? So it's smaller in U range, but also in lambda range. And it looks like there was a hole in here in the phase diagram, is just a problem of numerical effort. So if I would do another scan down here and search for the semi-metal, I would probably find a semi-metal somewhere here. And then I have to work on details of the phase boundary to end up with the connecting point between the symmetrical and the ordered phase. So there are no questions to this plot.
Suppose you further crank up V, does it get better at all, or is this the best you get?
Come again?
Suppose you crank up V, does it get better?
Yes, the next step will be fixing this value of lambda and really study the U independence of V. This is what see how this order closes. Those three points were on the slides before, the semi-metallic phase, the ordered phase. It gets smaller and smaller, but then it gives rise to a first order phase transition. directly from the semi-metal to the mod insulator. For a specific value of lambda, so now I will fix the couplings, the frustration to 3, where I am aware of the symmetry broken phase, and then study again the dependence on the topological tuning parameter lambda. And as before, I have the topological insulator, the semi-metallic faces, but now instead of a spontaneous symmetry regime up here, I have a first order phase transition from the topological to the mod insulator. And with the first order in, phase transition, I have level coupling, again, no adiabatic path, and from what we have found here, we could not connect the two topological phases. We could not confirm the C-square reductions. So let me summarize the first part. We were not able to find the adiabatic path predicted by the C to C4 reduction between the topological and the trivial insulator. Instead, symmetry broken streams or first order transition blocking this adiabatic path. However, there have been different numerical studies where, for example, done by Shailesh Chandrasekharan or Xian Meng and collaborators, and they studied, especially Xian Meng, essentially an SU4 symmetric Cunningham lattice. And what they found there was a second order phase transition from a massless Dirac phase to a massive one. And there was no symmetry breaking. So they have a model where there is a Dirac semi-metal which just ends somewhere without symmetry breaking or first order transitions, exactly what we were looking for. There are also first theory explanations of this critical endpoint, which is not a Grosnevieux like here or this first order. So when I continue this project, or I would like to continue this project, and there I would like to shift the focus of this research from these edge state arguments, from dimensional reduction arguments, really towards the bulk criticality. What do I have to add to my topological setup to generate phase transitions like this? I believe that this should give rise to some new exotic quantum criticality, because it's something which necessarily has to go beyond mean field description. Otherwise, this adiabatic path is not possible. So, before moving on to the second part of this talk, I would like to use this chance to ask if you have any more questions.
Just a curiosity, for this kind of system, what's the size you
can
get to?
For this system, the largest sizes I simulated were, I think, 10 by 10 or even 12 by 12 systems. But you have to keep in mind that due to this 4 copies of Dirac degrees of freedom, I essentially have a unit cell which contains 16 degrees of freedom. So if you want to compare the 10 by 10 system with, for example, the Hubbard model, it would represent a 40 by 40 lattice size. So it's actually pretty large.
I see.
And also when I look at the signal for the symmetry breaking order parameter, it's already pretty strong. So there's hardly any discussion that there is symmetry breaking. It's a clear signal, a clean signal.
I see. Thanks.
Okay. So then brings me to the second part of this seminar, where we'll discuss fractional Fermi liquid. So by this, you also leave the realm of symmetry protected topology, but really go to intrinsic topological order. And this is most commonly found in frustrated quantum magnets. For example, in a model devised by Balance, Fisher, and Gerwin, and then later simulated by Roger Melker and collaborators, where they map the quantum magnet to hardcore bosons. And what they found was an ordered phase. Here it was a superfluid. For quantum spin magnets, it would be an XY ferromagnetic phase. Then there's a T equals zero, a quantum critical point, to a C2 liquid. One example of intrinsic topological order is undercoupled fraction electrons, which then gives rise to a fractional Fermi liquid. And a fractional Fermi liquid, for those of you who are familiar with Kondo systems, doesn't have the large Fermi surface of a heavy Fermi liquid, but rather the original small one. But I will come to back to that on the next slide. This already introduces the notion of large and small Fermi surfaces, which is experimentally relevant. For example, in this study by Silke Paschen and collaborators, and this transition from a large Fermi surface to a small Fermi surface is known as Kondo breakdown. And second half of this seminar will address the question, can we realize such a fractional Fermi liquid in a numerical, unbiased way? To move on, I would like to quickly give an introduction to Kondo physics, where one generically couples conduction electrons to local moments. Base in such systems is then a heavy Fermi liquid, which is essentially defined by a conservation of translational symmetry and also time reversals. This phase, local moments are screened by the conduction electrons. So there is some kind of hybridization, and then the local moments contribute to the Fermi sea, and by this they generate the large Fermi surface. So in addition to the conduction electron freedom, just here by this part of the Fermi sea, we will have to add local moments and generate the large Fermi surface. And then when we restore in a Kondo coupled system the small Fermi surface, this is the mentioned Kondo breakdown, and its requirement is that there is no spontaneous symmetry during this restoration. Violate Hutchinson's theorem, where it essentially says that in general, the volume enclosed by the Fermi surface should not change with interaction. And also an extension by Oshikawa, who calculated or proved that the local moment should contribute to the Fermi surface on very general grounds. And one escape out of this theorem to explain the violation, the existence of the small Fermi surface, is topological order, which crucially depends on the fractional excitations of the topological ordered system. So, setting up this model, we need two basic ingredients. We need local moments with frustration, and we need conduction electrons. For local moments, we do the same model, the Balance-Fisher-Gerwin model, where we have local moments on the Kagome lattice, visualized by those black sides here, which have the regular spin flip processes on nearest neighbor bonds of the Kagome lattice. And then the frustration is generated by this this part here, the interaction, which essentially wants to minimize the total JZ the total SC component on those hexagons within the Kagome lattice. So these six sites, the total SC should be minimal. And this is on all of the hexagons. This is the frustration part where we know from the previous works that there should be a spin liquid, that there will be a spin liquid. Now we use conduction electrons and condo-couple that. So the conduction electrons live on a honeycomb lattice. They're subject to nearest neighbor hopping and no further intrinsic interactions like Hubbard interaction or something like this. So they should form by themselves the Dirac liquid, where you have just two Fermi points at the Dirac momenta, which character or defines the small Fermi surface. And then we couple the conduction electrons to the local moments using the Kondo coupling. We're taking this blue side here. I Kondo couple this conduction electron to all nearest neighbor local moments. For the red side, I had to choose a different sign structure, the X and Y component, and this was necessary for particle hole symmetry and then having no sign problem in the simulation. But it shouldn't affect the idea of Kondo coupling, the near relevant perturbation. I would like to stress one more point, and this is if you look at the unit cell contains three local moments, which means that at a full Brillouin the Fermi surface, which I don't see, but the last one adds half of the Brillouin. So if I had a Fermi liquid state, I should have a large Fermi surface covering half of the Brillouin. This would be the setup of the Hamiltonian. Do you have questions for the model definition? Okay, and I would sketch the phase diagram at t equals zero before coming to the numerical results. I would like to start with a ferromagnet, and then I have the local moments ordered in the XY plane and include the Kondo coupling. It directly easily generates an antiferromagnetic mass term for the honeycomb Dirac cones. So I will end up with the magnetic insulation. On the other hand, when I first go to this quantum critical point, Tarun, Rover, and Santel showed on perturbative arguments in the Kondo coupling that this is an irrelevant operator to this theory. Ready for the quantum critical point at low energy, the two systems, the local moments and the conduction electrons, should decouple. So I should recover the Dirac cone of the honeycomb. And when I move on with higher frustration, the local moments for the spin liquid, and they have a high entanglement between each other, symbolized here in these washed out grayish blobs. There is no degree of freedom left if you intuitive pictures to really Kondo couple to the spin degree of freedom of the conduction electron. And also the spin liquid is a gap phase, and again it should be stable to small interactions of Kondo couple strengths. Before I show the numerics, will I go back? Yes. So the fact that we have the Dirac cone, or expect the Dirac cone in this regime, this is already the fractional Fermi liquid because it has the small Fermi surface, not the large one. Dirac cone, Fermi liquid. What I want to show as numerical data is I want to start roughly here, where I have a frustration large enough so that at t equals zero, without Kondo coupling, the local moments form the C2 spin liquid. And then I want to increase the Kondo coupling strength And I expect that at some point I will leave the fractional Fermi liquid because the condo coupling strength is larger than the gap of the spin liquid and it can destroy the topological order in there. I see that for weak condo coupling, the magnetic correlation, which is defined over here for this antiferromagnetic mass term, only use the Y component because of the ferromagnetic structure and the spin liquid in the ordered side of the curve. I see that for weak condo couplings, the signal goes down system size.
Hello? Question?
Yes? Yes?
I probably missed that. What's the vertical axis of this plot?
Of this plot here, this is just the spin structure factor defined on that side.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
And this spin structure factor should diverge with system size if I'm in the ordered phase. This is pretty much what I see here. So if at large coupling I double system size, I get twice the signal, roughly. But if I go to weak condo couplings, then the, with system size, the correlation goes down. So I don't have magnetic order for low couplings, but I do have the magnetic order for large condo couplings. My interesting part is probably the spectrum of the conduction electrons, where I would like to focus on the Dirac momentum, where I have the Dirac cone. The prediction said that if I start with small condo couplings, the Dirac cone should be stable. They should not gap out or move somewhere else to form the large Fermi surface. Dirac cone persists for some finite value in condo coupling at around until around roundabout one. And if I go to the center of the Briand zone, where the energy of the conduction band in the pure honeycomb lattice is the largest at three, so this is the main contribution from the conduction electrons, we also see some small excitation, which for the energy fits very nicely with the energy of the Weisson excitations of the spin liquid.
Sorry, how do you know Weisson, not the spinon or something?
Come again?
How do you know it's the Weisson?
We cannot prove that it is the Weisson. What we do know from a different study of colleagues in Aachen, they measured essentially the Weisson excitation energy. And the numerical value for this Weisson excitation energy really matches the energy scale we have in here. And also the Weisson is a C2 gauge invariant object. So in principle, there is no reason why it should not couple to the conduction electrons.
Sorry, so this is your electron Green function or the spin structure factor? I probably got confused.
This is the conduction electron spectral function.
I see. Okay, thanks.
And also what is quite clear is that this low energy excitation disappears if we go to the magnetically ordered phase. So whatever this, it's only visible in the not visible in the ordered phase, and the energy met is the Weisson energy. And there was the claim that then the two subsystems, the conduction electrons and the local moments, should decouple. There are RG arguments for the critical point, and then energy scale arguments for the spin liquid phase. And we can test this hypothesis by studying the entanglement entropy, or to be a little bit more precise, we use the second Rennie entropy to calculate the information in conduction electrons and local moments. We do this for various patches. So here where we just have one side of conduction electrons and then three local moments, or two conduction electrons and five local moments, and so on and so forth. And we measure the mutual information as a function of the coupling. And we see here change in behavior and essentially vanishing mutual information for low condo coupling, where we had the spin liquid phase and the Dirac cone in the spectrum, to then something which is linearly increasing with the condo coupling. And I've this to the unit cells, so it's a volume law I'm seeing. So I'm essentially measuring, sorry, do you have questions?
No, you can continue.
Okay. I thought there was some noise. Anyways, so I have this volume law, which measures essentially, okay, here I have formed one singlet or some kind of screening of one conduction electrons for the local moments, and then increasing with the volume size. So even though we are not in the heavy Fermi liquid, where the condo screening should be the largest, from a symmetry perspective, there could still be some partial condo screening that I don't have the full magnetic moment ordering, but a reduced one due to the screening cloud around them. And we see coupling of the two sectors clearly when we go big insulating. Summarize all of the four plots, so you have seen each one of them. You can really see that when we have no magnetic order, we have a Dirac cone, we have a feature in the spectrum which we interpreted as Weisson excitations, and we see that there's little to no entanglement between the subsystems.
So for the mutual, theoretically, should I expect a sharp transition, or should it be a crossover?
I think this is still under investigation. There is a similar study of a more conventional condo system where you can see essentially a diversion first derivative, so that the mutual information becomes steeper and steeper at the transition. What we should exactly expect here is much harder to say. Because also this mutual information is not only sensitive to the low energy, but also to higher energy modes. So that's why we don't expect it to be exactly zero in the FL star phase. There's at least discontinuity in the first order, in the first derivative in this plot. Okay. And then, as I'm also almost up in time, let me briefly go through a similar scan where we do not increase the condo coupling, but rather keep the condo coupling fixed and increase the frustration. So we should have medically ordered low frustration, where we gap out the Dirac cone. And then only at larger frustration, we can disorder it again, where we recover the Dirac cone for the fractional Fermi liquid. And it's again coinciding with the pickup, which is here, less clear than before, of some low energy excitations. And also there is a change which is less pronounced, probably because of the range of the frustration we could do, where the change in the behavior is from something which goes up or down depending on your direction, and then something which is pretty constant. So this brings me then to the challenges and future directions. So first of all, we are pretty happy that for the first time we could realize a fractional Fermi liquid with an unbiased numerical exact simulations. the studies before were either a prediction that those phases should be stable, or there were mean field examinations of the same phase. But I didn't stress so far yet, but you might have realized that we were limited to pretty small system sizes. This had to do with long autocorrelation times. To be very honest, for each of those data plots I showed you, I've used like 1,000 cores and simulated for 2 weeks just to get warmed up configurations, and then invested another 2 weeks to get the data I have. So it was really impossible saying that this 2x6 sled is already roughly a month to go to a 6x6, which would be 10 months roughly. So there is a clear need for either improved sample schemes or to come up with a new designer model which shows the same kind of physics, but it's better treatable in terms of the simulation. And once those two issues are solved, I would like to continue by really studying the phase transition to test the irrelevance of the contour coupling. And also the fractional permiliquid phase is described by a confined C2VH theory. But at the critical point, this theory should become deconfined, and that would be interesting to investigate. This then also suggests how one could go on by upgrading the D2 gauge theory to U1 gauge theory, which is expected to describe deconfined quantum critical points. So I'd like to couple confined quantum criticality. Before I come to the final conclusion, I would like to thank my collaborators, mainly my supervisor, Fakir Azad, Fakir Kirosh, and Islam Khalaf, who I collaborated with on the reduced topological classification. And then also Tarun Grover was a big help in the during the project on the fractional Fermi-liquid. So, coming to my last slide, and the time is pretty much up. There have been various advances in numerical methods, depending, for example, which models are solvable in terms of having not having a sign problem. Of SPSS algorithm in our ALF package, because this allowed us to study those complicated models. Could, in principle, address very interesting questions like the reduced topological classification. However, there is need for continuation because at the moment we could not find the adiabatic path. We were stuck with symmetry breaking or first order phase transition. In the second half, I showed that we could realize a fractional Fermi-liquid. For the future, it would be very interesting to continue by redesigning the first model from the bulk criticality point of view, and the second model to study really the phase transition of the fractional Fermi-liquid to the metallic insulator, and then also extend the study to condo-coupled deconfined quantum criticality. Last but not least, I would like to thank you for your attention.
Question?
Do you have any questions for the rest of the talk, or?
Yeah, I guess I had enough questions during your talk, so it's probably good enough.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, then let's thank Johannes again.